grow up, I want to be a doctor.
When I grow up, I want to be a basketball player.
An artist.
Yes, I can do it.
I want to be a millionaire.
Yes, I can do it.
I want to be a veterinarian.
Yes, I can.
Be a football player.
Yes, I can.
Robotic engineer.
Yes, I can.
A teacher.
Yes, I can.
President of the United States.
Yes, I can.
Basketball player.
Yes, I can.
An Olympic track star.
Yes, I can.
An artist.
Yes, I can.
Something about kids. There's nothing that they don't think is impossible. How old are you, little man? How old are you? No, right here. No, I know you're right. How old are you? No, your brother, Colton. 6 3/4. All right. That's why he wants to be a robotics engineer, right? That's the best response, right? But the amazing thing about kids, that sometimes we lose it as adults. Kids believe that anything is possible. Kids believe that they can become a robotics engineer. Ayanna believes she is going to be, and she will be, the president of the United States, right? We've got kids who want to be teachers. We've got kids who want to be obstetricians and all of this different kind of things. They believe in their heart that they can do it. And it is incumbent upon us as adults to make sure that we don't kill that. It's incumbent upon us as adults that we continue to stir within children this belief that with God, all things are possible. Now, there's enough people who believe that because you live in a certain neighborhood, come from a certain zip code, come from a certain family structure, that you're not going to make it. But the kids that God has trusted to us should never lack for people that believe in them. They should never lack for people who believe that, yes, at 6 3/4, you will be a robotics engineer. They should never lack from people who say, yes, young lady, you can be president of the United States, and we're going to make sure that we surround you with all of the supports that you need to go that path, if that's what God has for you. We must be the voices in our children's ears who speak life. So many of us have come from situations where adults in our lives didn't do that. We've had people around us who forgot that the power of life and death is in the tongue, and they were not careful the words that they said. They said some things like, you're not smart enough to do that. No one from our neighborhood has ever done that, or all these different kind of negative things. And I want you to, that video that Kevin Hartfield, give him a hand. He puts together some great stuff for us. That video is on our Facebook page, it's on our website, and every time you think about saying a negative thing, I want you to play that video, right, and let that video speak to your spirit, and that video reminds you of the power of your words, the power of what you say, the power of what you write, the power of what you post in the life of your child. You know, someone asked me the other day, you know, with my daughter, Savannah, she's experienced such great success in her life. And somebody said, well, how? And I told my friend, I said, look, the only thing I know is I never doubted her. So all I can say is a dad, because I've made lots of mistakes, right? Most of the parents in here who've made mistakes, raise your hand with me. Look, guys, turn around. All of us have our hands up. Okay, somebody has their foot up. It's just, right? Okay. We've all made mistakes, kids, right? This whole first part of the sermon is for you guys. We've all made mistakes, right? But the one thing that we're not going to make a mistake at is that we are going to believe in you, okay? If no one else believes in you, then you can count on the fact that your mom, your dad, the people of True Light are going to believe in you. Amen? Can we commit that to our kids today? See, because that's what kids need. That's what kids need. That's why in the Bible, when the children were so drawn to Jesus, they found something about Jesus, right, that was not present in every adult. And this is a little diversion because I want to speak specifically to the kids for the intro here. They found something in Jesus that was not present in all the adults. Now, remember in the passage of the Bible where Jesus was saying, suffer the little children to come under me, the disciples were doing what? Shooing the children away, okay? And we have adults like that we think that, hey, come on, you kids are a nuisance. You're bothering us, right? Come on, get it, right? That's not Jesus' approach. Jesus embraced the children. Jesus said, look, no. You don't get it. See, you adults don't get it. But the kingdom of God is like these children, okay? These children model to you how you should trust God. Children ask very little questions of God. They just trust him. They just believe him. If we tell them that all things are possible with God, guess what kids believe? All things are possible with God. It's not until they become a grumpy adult and pay an Excel energy bill that they start to think that not all things are possible. Okay, and that has nothing to do with God and everything to do with you, amen? Okay? But Jesus says, it's like these kids. You know, as adults, we can learn so much. That's why I get so emotional when I see them singing, when I hear them praying, right? Because it reminds me of the simplicity of our faith, that even children can grasp the power of having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Children get it. Children, look, they're not polluted by the things of the world yet. You have to thank God for their innocence. They love the things of God. You should see them in Awana, man. These Awana bucks, you would think they are real money, amen. And these kids run around the church with this Awana money. I'm like, they're like, look how much money. And me and my adult mind, I'm like, that ain't gonna buy you anything. But they know it's gonna buy them something, right? When they get to that Awana store, look, my real money doesn't work in the Awana store, right? So we have to be careful as adults that we continue to foster this enthusiasm, this joy in the lives of our children. You know, I appreciate the parents who still today know how to shield their children from adult stuff. Amen. There's some things that are going on in your life that your kid has no business knowing about because it will kill their joy. It will kill their faith, their confidence in what God can do. There are some things as adults that our kids are counting on us keeping from their lives. That's what is going on in your life. That's what you're watching on TV. That's what you're listening on the radio. There are some things that we have to be careful that we do not allow them to kill this joy that you saw today. Amen. And this text that we have here in Philippians, Philippians 4 and 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this text has been taken out of context a lot, okay? Now, let me help you understand that the power of Scripture is in the context of Scripture, okay? You can pull out any verse you want and make it mean what you want it to mean, right? I'm not saying anybody in here does it, amen, but you can make any verse that you find, one of your verses that you like, and you can pull it out and make it mean whatever you want it to mean. This verse right here has been used as kind of like the motivational voice for Christians, right? When somebody's struggling, they're, hey, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and they're going through all these difficulties, we throw out this verse, and we've missed the power of the context of this verse. Okay, and so what I want to give to the young people and what I want to give to us today are three simple things that come out of this text, Philippians 4, 10 through 23, and then we'll be done. Okay, the main thing that we learn from the I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is that help is required. Okay, turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I need help. Yes, all of those things that those kids said that they want to become, they do not become those things without help. Okay? And that's what the context of this text is really getting us at. It's going to tell us about three areas that we definitely need help in. The Apostle Paul here was speaking about his relationship with the Philippian church, folks who he loved, who loved him, folks who had been supportive of him. And he says that when you face all of these different things that are going on in your life, you have to understand that you need help. You are not going to become a robotics engineer without help, okay? God gave you a cool mom and dad because you need some help, right? Kids, you have cool parents. You'll have a cool aunt, a cool uncle. You have cool church people that are around you because God knows that you need help, okay? Every adult that's in the house today that is appreciative for the help that you've received to get you where you are today, just give God a shout of praise. Amen? See, the dangerous thing in life is sometimes we act like we don't need anyone. We all go through what I like to say, Brooklyn stage, okay? And my daughter Brooklyn, you see? Got your attention. My daughter Brooklyn is going through this phase where, and we all go through, we've all went through, and some adults are still in it, but we go through this phase where I can do it. Well, Brooklyn, let me help you tie. I can tie my shoes. Now, no one's ever taught her. Okay, she's never shown that she's mastered tying her shoes, but she's at this phase where she wants to do everything, okay? Now, it's okay if you're going to explore and learn some things and all this, but it's dangerous if you stay stuck in a position where you act like you don't need anyone else, okay? You can't stay two or three or four your entire life, all right? Let me say that again to some of you adults who need to hear that. You cannot stay two, three, or four your entire life. You are going to need help at one point or another. Amen? You may have mastered the two bunny ears and you cross them together and loop-de-loo and pull them then they're tied, right? You may have mastered that, but you are going to need help sooner or later. Amen? Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I need some help. So look, Paul says in this text, in verse 10 of chapter 4, he says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Here Paul was talking about the Philippian church, right? And Paul was saying that as he was ministering, the Philippian church came to his aid, all right? The Philippian church helped him. Amen. Everybody say, the Philippian church helped Paul. Okay, Paul was not going to achieve what he achieved in ministry without the help of the Philippian church. And you are not going to achieve what God wants you to achieve. You are not going to reach the destination to be like Christ unless you have the help of other people. Amen? Look at this. In the Bible tells us, just as the body, though one has many parts, but as many parts are one body, so it is for Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, verse 15 of this Corinthian text says, now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smelling be? But in fact, God has placed all parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. Everybody lift up your hands, shake them a little bit, and you do the whole, just kidding. Okay? Now, blink your eyes, right? Okay? You can hear me talking through your ears, right? All of you, all of your parts are necessary for you to be a functioning person, right? And everyone in your life is a necessary part in order to help you become who God wants you to be. Amen? You can't say, I don't like my right hand. I don't need it. You say, you know what? My eyes are bothering me. I don't need them. That sounds foolish, doesn't it, kids? It sounds foolish if you would say, I don't need my ears. You can have my nose. That all sounds foolish. You need help. I need help. And so Paul was saying here to the Philippian church, you have helped me in my ministry. And he says, look, this help that Paul had gotten from them, had received from them, happened some 10 years ago. So like been a decade since they had given this help to Paul. But Paul was recalling the fact that they helped him, and he was only where he was today because they sustained him. Look at verse 14, 15, and 16 of that Philippians 4 text. It says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my afflictions. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs, all right? Here, Paul, again, was affirming that the Philippian church helped him. So not only do you need help, you are responsible to what? Give help. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I can help you. That's right. If you want to become whatever you want to become, if God is calling you to do something, it's not only that you need help, but you have a responsibility to give help. Amen. We live in times where people won't help each other. Amen. We are so worried about competing and getting over on one another that we don't help each other. And then we look at the end result and we are no further than we were because we won't help each other. Y'all know as little kids, the hardest lesson to sometimes teach your kid is to share. Right? Especially if it's their favorite whatever, right? And you have a play date, and it's the first play date, right, Nicole? And you bring some folks over that you just met, and you want your kids to connect. And all of a sudden, that kid that came over with that new neighbor wants to mess with Jesse's favorite toy. Oh, no. Right? We're like, he's not ready to share that yet. It's his, right? And that's how we are sometimes. It's like, oh, it's hard for us to share as adults. Share our resources. Share our expertise. Share money. Everybody said, Lord have mercy. Here he goes. Okay? It's hard for us to share. But let me tell you, the reason why we are not achieving what we should be achieving, the reason why we are not expeditiously moving to the destination of being like Jesus Christ is because we've not adopted the spirit of Christ, which tells us that we got to share. Amen. I need you and you need me. We sing the song. Everybody loves it. I need you. You need me, right? It's that song where you just want to put up your cell phone, turn the light on, and just rock it out in church, right? We sing it, but do we live it? We sing it, but do we live it? Do we help each other get to where we need to go? Some people are so worried about, oh my gosh, if I help Sister Bonnie, then she'll be further than I am. Right? That's why we don't help. But how do you not know that if you help her get to where she needs to go, that she's not going to be able to reach back and help you get to where you need to go, and then you'll be able to reach back and help somebody else get to where they need to go, and then all of a sudden you got everybody helping everybody get to where they need to be. Paul said, I'm grateful for this Philippian church that helped. Paul said, look, you were the only one that helped me. You have to learn from this that we live in a world where there's few people who are committed to this, and it's not a new thing. Paul was dealing with this, and the same thing is true today. You should not want to be counted in the people who won't help. Okay? That's not where you want to take attendance. Amen. You want to be the people over here that says, when I need some help, I can count on, and your name should be listed among those folks. Amen. So number one, you are going to need help from others. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I need help. I need to give help. So the question is, who are you helping right now? Who are you helping? You see these children up here, right? Some of you, as Q was getting the kids, you can see my ears are always open before I come to the sermon because I say, Holy Spirit, if you need to modify some things, just go ahead and modify. So this is a Holy Spirit modification right here, right? So Q's up here getting the kids arranged, and I'm not going to say who it was, but there's a few people back there, and they were whispering. They saw all the, it wasn't chaos, it was organized, but it was still, it looked, if you're not a person who works with kids, it looks scary, right? And so these folks were in the back, and they said, ooh, girl, I'm so glad I didn't have ones. I laughed a little bit, right? And I said, well, just because you, and I wanted to say, just because you didn't have one doesn't mean that you're not supposed to help. It's not just the people who have the children who are supposed to be concerned about the children, but we're all supposed to be concerned about the children and say, where can I help? Amen. Vacation Bible School meeting tomorrow night at 6:30 in the community room. Amen. Where can I help? Amen. Puppets meet on Tuesday at 6:30. You can help. Amen. You don't have to have a child. You don't have to be in the middle of the circumstance to help. You just got to help. Amen. Sometimes the best help are the people who are not in the midst of the same mess that you're in. That's why Jesus is a perfect help. You know, when he's helping me, I'm glad he's not weighed down by the same mess. Amen. Because he's free to help me. So you got to help somebody. Secondly, you need help from the Holy Spirit. Amen. You cannot do this. You cannot become who Christ wants you to be. You cannot reach the destination that Christ has for you if you do not have the aid of the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4, Philippians again, verse 11 and 12. Paul says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content. Now, that operative word I want you to do is learned, right? I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity in any and every circumstance. I have learned, again, the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Anytime I see the word learned in the Bible, it makes me connect with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because John 14, 25 and 26 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, from whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So when I see the word learn, I know there's some things that you can't learn without the aid of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul's talking about he's learned to be content, whether he's poor, whether he's rich, whether his needs are met, or whether his needs are not going, Paul did not learn that in his flesh. You know that. Because in your flesh, when you make money, you're not happy with not making money, right? Because in your flesh has become conditioned to, I need money. Paul said, no, I've learned something through the Spirit to be content in whatever circumstances I am in, right? The one thing you kids have got to understand, that as you push to become what Christ wants you to be, situations and circumstances will change. Some days will be easy. Okay, like some of you guys, let's real quick, you kids, let's go. 1 + 1 is what? Okay, 2 + 2 is? Okay, 3 + 3 is? Okay, 36 + 84? Right? You prove that you can do math, but I threw a zinger at you, right? Right? And that's what Paul was saying, that I've learned how to do 1 + 1 is 2, and 2 + 2 is 4. And I've also learned that 36 + 84 is 120. And whatever state I'm in, I've learned to be content when it's easy and when it's hard. Life is going to have some easy moments. Life is going to have some hard moments. And in either season, Paul says, you can be content. You'll be okay, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say, hey, neighbor, if it's 1 + 1 or 36 + 84, you're going to be all right, okay? Some adults are still doing 36 + 84 right now. I'm like, how did he do this? Carry the one using the touch points that we used to. Don't do that new math with the lattice and all that stuff. That, oh, Lord, help us, God. Right? Paul was saying, look, I've learned when I had the support. Now, again, in context, Paul was talking about support. Okay? He was saying that I've learned how to be content when I've had a lot of support, and I've learned to be content when I've had little support. Okay? It's easy in life when everybody's in your corner, isn't it? It's easy when everybody's cheering for you and everybody's saying, you can do it. Yes, you can. We're here for you. And they're supplying everything that you need. But it gets hard when those yes, you can voices get quiet. Yes, you can. Here you are struggling. Okay? Ends are not meeting. Over here was like, yeah, go get it. You can do it. You can do it. Yeah, all right, man. Go, go, go. Then over here. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Right? Paul was saying that is going to come up in your life. And the thing you must understand, young and old alike, is that when it gets over here and there seems to be little support, you cannot give up. Okay? Remember what he said last week? I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me, and I press forward to those things that are ahead of me. Paul was saying, look, yesterday I might have had a lot of support. Today there's not too many people in my corner, but guess what? I keep pressing on. There will come a point, children, when there's this time where you are going to achieve your goal and you get older, like some of you have siblings who are in college, some of you have siblings who are older and they're working, and they're in a situation where it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people in their corner, and you'll get there one day by God's grace, and you've got to remember, keep going, even though it gets hard. When you're sitting in your math class next year in school and they throw out 36 plus 84, you say, ooh, I learned that in church, right? But when it gets hard... Okay? When it gets hard, you got to say, oh, I got to keep pushing. I got to keep pressing, because no matter what, in any season, guess who's with you? Jesus Christ is with you. Amen? 1 plus 1, 84 plus 36, Jesus Christ is with you. Amen? Everybody's, oh, now everybody's experts. Everybody's like, this whole side, 120. That's great. So you have to have the aid of the Holy Spirit, okay? You've got to have the help of others. You've got to have the aid of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, and most importantly, equally important, because you need them all, you have to have the help of Jesus Christ, okay? This whole thing of I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is saying that at the end of the day, the one who has begun a great work in you, the one who has given you the dream to be president of the United States, the one who has put that in your heart, he will be faithful to perform it. And all you've got to do is stay faithful to him. Amen? He says, look, you need Jesus Christ. Verse 13, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, look, I thought I was going to give up when there wasn't a lot of people cheering for me. Look, I don't know about you adults, but I've been there, right? I've been in seasons of my life where I didn't hear the cheers. I didn't hear the encouragement. I didn't hear the people who used to be over here. They weren't over here. And I felt like maybe this means I should quit. Maybe this means I should stop preaching. Maybe this means and then God said, no, 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 no. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You don't need a big crowd. You just need me. Amen. And you come to learn that in your life, that at the end of the day, what you really need is Jesus. See, the old mothers of the church used to sing a song that says, long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus, long, 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 long as I got him, I don't need nobody else, right? And we learn that, but it's hard to live that, amen? Because we're human and it's so hard to live that, but that's what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, look, I've matured to the point that I understand that sometimes you're going to have to take a stand. And when you take that stand, it's going to leave you all by yourself. Sometimes you are going to have to call the truth the truth. You're going to have to call a duck, a spade, and everybody who was with you might not be with you anymore. But Jesus says, lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. It's important for you to understand that you are never alone. Amen. It may get hard. Those of you who are at college know that it gets hard. You may be down to your last packet of ramen noodles. Amen. Gets hard. Amen. You try to ration that thing out till the next care package comes. Amen. It gets hard. Amen. But lo, he's with you always. Amen. Even until the end of the ramen noodles. Amen. Verse 19 in the text, it said, and my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, remember that 1 plus 1? 84 plus 36, right? Good. This is where we often live here. This is the reality. And what is important about that scripture there and why you need Jesus is because sometimes you are going to come to the end of your own resources. Sometimes you are going to come to the end of everything that you have, everything that you know to do, and you need to understand that God's work in your life is not dependent upon your bank account. God's work in your life is not dependent upon your education. God's work in your life is not dependent upon all of those things that we think are necessary. He says, when you come to the end of it, the reality is that God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Not according to my account, not according to my credit score, but according to his riches in glory. See, you need Jesus Christ if you are going to become who God desires you to be. Amen. Turn to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I need to help others. I need the help of others. I need the Holy Spirit. And I need Jesus Christ. If you have those things, if you have those components, no matter what comes your way, no matter what storm, no matter what struggle, no matter what sickness, no matter what stress, if you have those things, then you will be able to achieve what God has for your life. Have I a witness? Amen. See, children, there are some adults here who will tell you that we were down to our last dime. We didn't have a friend to call, but Jesus was able to bring us through. Have I a witness? Amen. That he picked you up out of the muck and the miry clay and set your feet upon a rock to say, do I have a witness? Amen. That Jesus came through. Amen. Jesus came through, and while we try to give our kids all of the stuff and things of this world, baby, we better give them Jesus, amen. Because at the end of the day, when the money runs out, at the end of the day, when the education's not enough, at the end of the day, when the credit score's not high enough, you're gonna need Jesus to work things out for you, amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, I need Jesus to work things out for me so that when I grow up, I can be whatever I want to be. Yes, that's right. That I need Jesus to move some mountains out of my way so that I can grow up and be whatever he wants me to be. I need Jesus to move some things and get them in order so I can be whatever he wants me to be. When I hear children say, I'm going to be the president of the United States, I don't have doubt in my mind that if she would just keep her eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of her faith, I've got no doubt in my mind that one day I'll be eating dinner at the White House, sitting in the Oval Office, saying, girl, I remember when you were saying, trust in the Lord with all of thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. I have enough faith that says if they believe in Jesus and put their trust in him, I'm going to see some robots rolling around True Light on the greeters ministry, because he's designed some new robotic ushers who know all of those signs and can do all of those cool things. I don't know about you today, but I put my trust in Jesus, and he's never let me down. Have I a witness today? Somebody ought to say yes, that I put my trust in him, and he has never let me down. And children, I want to tell you this. If you want to go higher, if you want to go further, look to Golgotha's hill where they hung him up on an old rugged tree. Look to Golgotha's hill where the blood came streaming down. Look to Golgotha's hill where he earth rocked and reeled from the sixth to the ninth hour. Children, if you want to grow up and be somebody, say yes I can, because he did. I can't do it because I'm anybody, but it's because he was somebody. I close with this. The psalmist said, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he will save you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your left hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Somebody said, why can't I make it? Why can't I do what I'm going to do? Because Jesus did what he said he would do. Have I a witness today? I'm here today because he died on an old rugged cross. I'm here today because he died on an old rugged cross. I'm here today because he died on an old rugged cross. He died on an old rugged cross. I'm here today because the blood came streaming down. I'm here today because the thief looked up and said, surely this must be the Son of God. I'm here today because he went to the borrowed tomb, and I'm glad he borrowed it, because when you borrow something, you got to give it back, and he didn't need it long, but he stayed there all night Friday, stay there all day Saturday, stay there all day Saturday night, but early Sunday morning, got up with all power, heaven and earth in his hands. Yes. Yes. Because he did what he did, I can do what I'm doing, believing that God is able. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, I can. Yeah. Somebody's lied to you and told you that you couldn't. But today God says, yes, you can. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Young people, children, thank you today for reminding us of what it means to love God with the purity of heart. From reminding us what it means to trust our futures to the hands of God. What it means to dream big and to believe that he that began a great work in us shall be faithful to complete it to the very day of Jesus Christ. That he has given us help through others, through the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus Christ. And because he's done that, yes, I can. Yes, you can. Let others help you. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. And know that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you for these children today who remind us that we can because of Jesus Christ. That we are able to do all things for your glory because of the help that you've surrounded us with. You've given us the help of others. You've given us the help of the Holy Spirit. And you've given us the constant present help of Jesus Christ. And so this day, God, we pray that someone today who might have been looking for help, that they would hear you say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. They would hear you say that you love them, that you care about them, and that you've got great plans for their lives. They would hear you say that even though their sins be as scarlet, you will make them white as snow. And so, God, we pray today that you would move on a life right now, that you would move on a family right now, that you would move on an individual right now, that they would know that you are the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by you. And so today we say, yes, we can. As we stand, we open the doors of the church as our deacons come. We invite you to come today to give your life to Jesus Christ, to come for special prayer. But as we stand, I love you.